Morning. Morning. It's lovely to be with you all again, as ever. Always is. Like, I know it was a flying visit last week, but I was blessed to be a part of your big day, Phil, that induction day. And to be honest, church, what we saw last week, that's what it's going to be like every Sunday, isn't it? Amen. I'm expectant for that, and we should have expectant hearts that every Sunday we're going to see those kind of numbers in this place going forward. Because God's got a plan for this place. So yes, get used to that. Get used to busy ones, more teas and coffees. Oh yeah. But no, we've got to be expectant, haven't we? And just something you were saying earlier, Phil, about God being in the small details, as well as the big ones, of course. I've got one. I think you've heard me say many times that driving's my frustration, okay? Not the greatest Christian when it comes to driving. God's working on that. But one thing that frustrates me, particularly when I'm driving, is parking. Parking. But one thing for sure is, Ailey prays every time we go to park. Lord, give us a spot. And it's a small detail, but we get one every time, like instantly. And even a couple of weeks ago, I had my mother on the phone, sort of in the car, and she was driving. She was looking for a car parking space in Maryhill. I don't know if you've ever been to Maryhill in Dudley. It's a big shopping centre, really busy. And she was really frustrated, been driving around for a while. And I'm like, Mom, you should pray. Like, pray, because it works for us every time, you know. And she says, well, go on then. And I got Ailey to pray. And she's like, oh, there's one here. So now, every time we pray, I'm expectant that God's going to do that. And he does. He's faithful every time. Faithful. So I'm going to speak to you this morning, church. God has put a message on my heart about faith. Okay? So we're going to be looking at what faith is. Hebrews 11. To be honest with you, Phil, I spent a lot of... How you read Hebrews in an hour is great. I can't get out of Hebrews 11 at the moment. There's so much in there. But it really is a chapter of faith. It's a lot. I think it's mentioned 24 times. It's mentioned the word faith all throughout Hebrews 11 and into 12. But yes, such an amazing chapter about faith. And I learned a lot about faith that I want to share with you this morning, if that's okay. So, yeah, first scripture. So what is faith? Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of the things we cannot see. Okay? Now, when I was looking at the word faith, one thing that I do a lot is I look at the dictionary definition. And then I'll look at the biblical definition and all these things associated. So how the Hebrew translates and the Greek. And I can tell you now, there's no better definition of faith than that right there. Okay? Where it says in this translation, it says faith shows the reality of what we hope for. I think the Greek word, other translations say the substance of things hoped for. The actual Greek word used in the Greek texts means the realization of things that we hope for, things that we hope for being realized, being part of our being brought into reality. And there's two words, church, that are kind of synonymous. Is that the right word? Synonymous? I guess so. Wow, that's a big word for a Sunday morning for me. Two words that are quite synonymous with the word faith. That's hope, as we see right there, and trust. Hope and trust is what is kind of like the foundations of what faith are. Oh, I have faith that I'm going to get a parking spot every time I pull on a car park now, which is great. But this word realization as well, faith. See, the one thing about faith, church, that I want to get across to you today, hopefully, or you may already have, you know, got this, is... It's not ambiguous, okay? It's not unsure. It's not a shot in the dark, okay? It's built on an assurance. So it's not a wild stab in the dark. And we see that in the second part of the first verse, where it says it's the evidence of things we cannot see. Evidence is a physical thing, right? If you commit a crime, they have evidence. It's not something that's invisible. Yeah, we can't send someone to jail and use ambiguous evidence. It's got to be something concrete and solid. One thing I'll say is faith is a gift from God. Okay? For time purposes, I can't quote all the scriptures I'd like to, but faith, it's a gift from God that you were given at that moment of conversion. The moment that you made Jesus your Lord and Saviour, you were given a measure of faith. Okay? So faith takes things from the unseen world and it brings it into our existence. Now, one thing I'll say is, so there was a guy. Story time now, church. There was a guy and he was fixing his aerial on his roof. Okay? Remember that, when we used to do that. We got dishes now and cables, but yeah. Stand there and hold that aerial, that's it. That's it, I got a good picture. Remember that of times. So he's fixing the aerial on his roof. He slips, slides down his roof, and then he's hanging on the edge of the guttering, and it's a good 20, 30 foot drop. Must have been a townhouse, I think. So he's hanging on for his life, and he shouts down, he's like, anybody down there can help me, I'm going to fall. I need saving, help me. Nobody's around. So he's panicking, his heart's beating, he's loosening his grip. So he looks up. Is there anyone up there who can help me? And then he hears this voice bellowing from the heavens. Have faith, let go, and believe. So he thinks about it. Then he looks up again. Is there anyone else up there who can help? But no, we have to trust and we have to have faith. We have to have faith. I'm just kidding you. So faith kind of works. Remember, it's a gift from God. So think about the senses, okay? The way we perceive things in the world and bring it into our reality, our existence, we use our senses, instruments that God give us, yeah? We've got five of them, church. So what are they? The five senses? Taste, smell, hearing, touch, and sight. Very good, very good. I'm glad you helped me out because I'll probably forget one. So faith kind of works like senses as well, like a sixth sense. I'll say that carefully. Sixth sense. Okay? Like four of these senses, except for touch. Touch is a little bit different. Faith operates in the same way. Faith's an instrument given to us that takes things unseen and brings it into our reality. Brings it into a part of our being. Are you with me? Yeah? So, light is out there. We know light's out there. I don't want to get too technical. Phil probably could, but photons bouncing off things. We perceive them with the instruments that God gives us. Otherwise, they'd be invisible to us, unknown to us. And they become part of our reality. We see things. Okay? Same with sound. There's sounds out there. We can't hear sounds like the worship. Oh, do you know, when you were worshipping this morning as well, above all, I think, was the song. I wanted to stay in that place. You know, that sweet spot with God in worship. I was just there this morning. But you lot sounded amazing. I had my eyes closed. You sounded like angels singing. It was beautiful. I used the instruments that God gave me to make that a part of my being, yeah? Sound waves, you can't see them. And smells, you know, there's some beautiful smells out there, there's some bad smells out there. But, you know, when you smell something, an aroma that's beautiful, you use your nose, you can't see smells. In fact, I've looked at some dishes and they look delicious and not so nice when you smell them or taste them. Grotty puds, one of you ever heard of grotty pud? Don't know. It's an old black country thing. Doesn't smell very nice, but it tastes lovely. So taste is another one. Again, you know, we use our tongue, these taste buds, these sensations, to taste wonderful things, to bring into our existence. God's expanding in mine, because there was a lot of foods I wouldn't eat before, but I currently eat now, trying new things and thinking, where have you been all my life, you know? But taste, yeah, and faith is the same. It's an instrument, okay, that takes things unseen, as Hebrews 1 says, and brings it into reality. It's the realization, okay? So think of faith kind of like a sixth sense, but carefully. So we know there's a spiritual realm out there. We know that. We don't see into the spiritual realm with physical eyes, okay? The way we look at everything else in the world, we have to see with our spiritual eyes to perceive things. Now, can we go to, have you got one, did I give you 1 Peter? Okay, so we've never seen Jesus, well, physically, the human bodily form of Jesus. So you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy, the reward for trusting him. He will be the salvation of your souls. That's a big deal, isn't it? That's a big deal. You can't see him. Remember, the Bible tells us that we live by faith and not by sight. You know, remember the Israelites saw many, many miracles of God physically. And then they would, within weeks, go and do something rebellious towards God. So sight isn't a great confirmation. You know, it's about faith. And we're people of faith. But that is a big deal to me. The reward for trusting him will be your salvation. We have to trust him, church. We have to trust him. We have to have faith. As I said earlier, church, we have a gift of faith. To take what's unseen, to bring it, you know, into our existence from the spiritual world. Romans 12, verse 3. If you can, brother. Ah, good man. He's on it now. He's qualified now, Phil. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Okay? So God's given us faith. Now, I've heard it said many times, and I think the enemy uses this a lot to stop God moving. Okay? That when you, there's a lot of hesitation and a lot of fear to step out in faith, and the enemy will use that. Okay? And one thing that I absolutely hate is when people think, my faith is not big enough. Yeah? Do you recognize that? You've probably all heard that. I've not got enough faith. I'm doubting. I've got unbelief. Yeah? These things. Now, you've been given the measure of faith, okay? When you converted, you've been given a measure of faith. So it's not a question of how big your faith is, okay? You've been given a measure. Everyone has been given a measure. It's how much you know Jesus, and how much you trust in him, and how much you have faith in him, okay? It's not, my faith isn't big enough, because that will stop you, it will freeze you from moving forward, okay? Galatians 2:20, please, brother. He's on it, Phil. He's on it today. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting, other translations use the word faith, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love that scripture. Love that scripture. As I said, church, this trusting, these words that come synonymous with having faith, it's trusting and hoping. It's not a wild stab in the dark. well, God, I'd really like you to do this, but, you know, maybe you won't. But we see it in Paul's writing when he's in jail, okay? His faith's wavering. One moment he's saying, Lord, I know you will deliver me, or you can deliver me from this. You can get me out of this. And then he's saying, but even if you don't, you know, I'm not going to change my faith in you or my love for you. I'm really paraphrasing that. But you see, Paul's faith wavers from time to time. And that's okay, church. It's okay. Can we go back to Hebrews 11, please? Verse 2, I think where we're at. Faith shows... Oh, that's verse 1, brother. Did I give you verse 2 and 3? Okay, so it says here, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation, a good report. Okay, this is talking about, in fact, when you go through the chapter, it's kind of like a hall of fame list for the Old Testament prophets and major characters in the Old Testament. I think there's around 35 of them, something like that, which I'm not going to go into, but I will paraphrase them. All these guys received a good report from God because of their faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That we now see, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Okay? This is where I think atheists struggle, don't they? You know, I'm not going to get into the old Big Bang stuff because I don't want Phil to pull me up on that, and I'm probably wrong, but, you know, atheism hits a point where it struggles when it gets to the Big Bang. We know that in Genesis 1, it talks about how the world was created. There must be something unseen that created things, as the verse tells us. Didn't come from a physical thing. You can't get something from nothing. Okay? We know everything came into existence through God. We know that. Now, this is what, as I said, atheists will go back so far, but then that's the bone of contention from that. They just can't explain that everything came from nothing. In fact, there was an atheist that challenged God and said, I can create man, just like you did, scientifically. And God said, okay, I'll take up that challenge. Go ahead, show me. And he says, pass me that dirt. And God says, get your own dirt. So there's a point, do you get my point? There's a point where atheism struggles. We know by faith. And throughout chapter 11, guys, read that chapter, it's amazing. It keeps saying, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith Noah, by faith Abel. And you see all these things that these guys acted on faith all throughout. Verse 6, I'm going to skip a couple of verses and go to verse 6. If I can, did I give you verse 6? Something about faith, church. Faith. You can do, brother, if you want to.
This is from the NIV, mind you, but still. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that... Yeah, I love it. It's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
So, it's impossible to please him without faith. That's a big deal, isn't it? Everything we do, and there's some great works that we do, you know, if we don't do it in faith, it's not pleasing to him. I think there might be a verse in the Bible, or I've heard it somewhere, I'm paraphrasing again, church, where it says that things done not in faith is actually sin. It's classed as sin, things that are not done in faith. Don't quote me on that, do your research. I think I'm right. But yet we see these testimonies throughout Hebrews 11, and I'll paraphrase them to save time, because I'll be here reading the whole chapter to you. So, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God, By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Crazy, crazy faith. Never seen rain before from the skies, and yet this guy, well, you know about Noah, builds an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed and left his country. By faith, Abraham dwelt in tents in a foreign land. By faith, Sarah bore a child. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob worshipped, leaning on his staff, while he was nearing death. By faith, Joseph instructed the children of Israel regarding his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid Moses and weren't afraid of the king's commands, by faith. By faith, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the Pharaoh. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. By faith, the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Joseph encircled the walls of Jericho, and they came tumbling down, didn't they? And by faith, Rahab received the spies. And I could just go on and on and on throughout the Old Testament. By faith. Now, one thing that you may have picked up there. Every word I used, by faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch walked. By faith, Noah prepared. They're all verbs. Okay? They're doing words. They're doing something. Okay? So faith, what James tells us, doesn't he? Faith without works is what? It's dead. Okay? So, okay, having all the faith in the world, but without an act of the will, without a stepping out, it's dead. It's dead. And I think that this chapter really doubles down on that, because you look at every act of these guys, there was an act of the will in faith. Now, can we go to Mark 9, verse 21 to 24, please? I love this. I've wrestled with this for so long, and even up until this morning, God speaking to me on this portion of Scripture. This is where a father goes to Jesus because his son is really, really poorly, and he says, Lord, can you heal him, basically? So we'll pick it up from verse 21. It's like Jesus says, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus replied. Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Now, this is just one example. You know, Jesus healed many people, didn't he? And quite often you'll see that faith comes into it. There's something about faith that just grabs God's attention. Okay? This one I've wrestled with. I think other translation, yeah. No, it's the similar. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So there's a seed of doubt in there. And I want to do away with this lie that you've got to have no doubt, full of faith, really big faith for anything to happen. So let's use the example of praying for healing for someone, okay? I've froze at that, and I've not stepped out in faith. There's been moments when, you know, I could have prayed for healing for someone, but I've had unbelief there. And it stopped me, it froze me from stepping out and praying for someone. When you read on this little portion of Scripture, Jesus heals that boy, doesn't he? And yet the father's open and honest that he has unbelief. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you, church, is God knows your heart. He knows that when we ask him things, he knows there's going to be some little seed of doubt in there. And yet he still honors it. You know, be real with God, just like the Father is here. I do believe, Lord, but help me. in my unbelief. You know, it's okay to have that Thomas. Look at Thomas. Thomas's faith. You know, he was doubting Thomas. He's known as doubting Thomas. He didn't believe that the Lord had risen until he put his fingers into the holes in his side or in his hand. You know, God, and God still didn't reject him for that. Come touch here. Come touch and see for yourself. So he even addressed that doubt. So what I'm saying is, don't let the enemy use that to freeze you from stepping out. It's okay to have doubts. Be honest with God. Okay? I'm going to pray for him, Lord. You know I've got doubts. You know I've got reservations. But I'm going to pray for this man's healing or this woman's healing. Don't let it stop you stepping out, church. We've got to act on faith. Faith wavers. There's always a tension between faith and doubt as well. You know, I've been watching a podcaster for quite a long time. Really touched my heart this weekend. He's not a believer yet. But you know those moments where you can see God just reeling someone in, really turning over the earth on them. He's going to be a Christian. He's going to be a believer because I can see God working in him. Because he was speaking with such a wisdom as well. In that, what he said, which I found really interesting, he was praying to God. So he prays. He's on the verge. And he was saying, every time I pray, I know there's a bad behavior he talks about. These bad behaviors I want out of my life. He says, and every time I pray, I know there's a part of me, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do this, whatever this bad behavior is. And he says, so in a sense, I feel like I'm lying to God in my prayer. But he's honest to God and he's like, God, that's the part that I need you to come into. That part of me. Not the part that's, you know, petitioning you. The part that's going to try or he's going to fail and do it again. Come into that part of me. Not into the waters, but into the well. Not even into the well, into the brickwork of the well. Under the roots instead of the symptom. You know. Like drinking and stuff, you know. And I see a lot of people who struggle with alcohol. Lord, take it away. Don't just take away the opportunity or taking drink away for, you know, clear my cupboards and stuff. Get to the root. Make me hate it. You know, kind of like that. But Jesus in this passage, he doesn't condemn the Father for his doubt. Even if it's small or mixed faith, it's sufficient. Okay? Remember, what does the Bible say? Faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain, doesn't it? Now, I don't believe that. I'm struggling with this, I'm being honest, because I'm still looking into it. Faith, I'm questioning whether you can grow faith to make it big faith, or I'm more along the lines that you can strengthen your faith. I don't think you actually grow it, because the Bible tells us we're given a measure. So I think you can strengthen it or learn how to activate it, but I don't think it grows big. Because you see it waver in a lot, like Paul the Apostle as well, for example. Faith starts in the mind, accepting truth. Yeah, we hear the word of God. We conceive it in our mind. And then it might start changing how we perceive things. But then we get emotionally attached to it, don't we? This truth. Faith comes from truth. We get emotionally attached to it, but then, like I said, church, it has to become an act of the will. An act of the will. Because faith without works is dead. Now, Phil, I know he won't mind me saying this, in his induction last week, I mean, I love this because I was going to talk about Peter stepping out in faith, because that is the story that everybody knows. It's about faith, stepping out the boat in faith. So when I heard in the induction, it was a lot of talk about that. I was like, okay, I'm on the right lines here, Lord. I took it as a confirmation. But Phil has stepped out in faith. I'm sure he had many doubts and probably still has. Many doubts or reservations of, oh Lord, how's this going to work and how's that going to work? And I'm sure you have, Phil. And God knows that. God knows that. But he's acted. He's stepped out in faith. He stepped out in faith, hasn't he? And I think it's important, church, that we as a church, we have to get behind this man, don't we? And cover him in prayer. We have to do that. Now, I think the Bible talks about making it easy for your leaders, making the job of your leaders easier. You know, we've got to do that, church. Please, you must do that. Because the burden, the weight we talk about, the weight of ministry is on Phil. And Beth, and we know that, sorry, you're right. And that we see in the scriptures that Jesus says, doesn't he? My burden is light, my yoke is easy, but it's people's burdens that weigh us down. Okay, so we must get behind this couple and pray for them.